start musing upon, thinking on, and working our way through as an expository read. This psalm is the first of seven in the Psalter that are described as the penitential psalms. The penitential psalms. And these particular psalms, the most famous of them is Psalm 51, where David is, as we know from that psalm, he's crying out to God for mercy, forgiveness, for cleansing, in the aftermath of his being confronted by Nathan the prophet and called to repent of his great and heinous sin against Uriah and Bathsheba, destroying their marriage and as well his deception over the whole nation. This particular psalm and its context is believed by many scholars to have been written while David was fleeing in the wilderness from his son Absalom. This is believed in many respects because of how emphatic David is in this psalm of the terror that he feels both physically as well as emotionally in regards to everything that is crashing down on him. But most importantly to note in here, which is what we're going to look at just for a few moments, are verses 1 through 3, which is what we could describe as the agony David knows, the agony he knows. In verse 1, he says, O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. In this very first verse, in your anger and in your wrath are both emphatic. They're underlined, highlighted. And David is not, he's not asking the Lord to take away his discipline, his wrath per se, but he is asking the Lord, Lord, would you ease up a bit? Because if we understand this in the historic context of David fleeing from Absalom, then we know that David, therefore, is very well aware that the circumstances he was going through at that moment, they went all the way back to what's recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 12. If you remember when Nathan went to confront David over his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite, in the word, the prophetic word which God spoke through Nathan to David, you remember the Lord said to David, the sword will never leave your house. God forgave David his iniquity, but the Lord made it clear to David his servant, the sword will never leave your house. And the rest of David's personal history, that is the history of his family, was an absolute train wreck. His house was, from top to bottom, there was never any peace. David knew no peace in his home life with his family. This was the chastening hand of God. That while the Lord had forgiven him, yet the Lord was going to make David pay to a certain degree. Not ultimately, of course, but to a certain degree, you are going to pay for what you did. And so here is David. David fleeing from his son Absalom, who has usurped David's position and authority as king, has stolen the kingship from his father, and of course is coming after his father. Absalom was wanting to kill his own father David. And David recognizes all of this going back to the words of the prophet Nathan. The sword will never leave your house. And so here is David crying out to God, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. The agony that David knows that he's expressing here first is the problem of wrath. That the Lord, though David knows the Lord, though David is one of the Lord's children, but yet the Lord is severely disciplining his son. And while we know from Proverbs chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 12 that the Lord disciplines those whom he loves, yet what we must always remember is that when the Lord is chastening us, there should be, depending, of course, on the reason for the chastening, there should be a level of fear. There should be a level of trembling in our own hearts towards God. We should not ever, ever, ever take lightly the chastening of God. That's the very counsel that we are given in both Proverbs 3, verse 11, and in Hebrews chapter 12, which is citing the Proverbs 3 passage. Do not take the discipline of the Lord lightly. Do not take this lightly. Well, David was not taking it lightly. Not at all. So he's crying out to God. Verse 2, be gracious to me, O Lord. In other words, this reminds us of what we hear the prophet Habakkuk crying out to God in his time. In wrath, remember mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. And that's what you hear David saying here to the Lord. Lord, in your wrath, remember mercy. Be gracious to me, O Lord. And the fact that David is asking and petitioning God to be gracious to him, certainly what is implied there is this is something David does not deserve. David is asking for mercy. Well, is mercy something you deserve? No. No, we don't deserve mercy. We do not deserve grace. Now, David knew what he deserved, but yet he is calling upon the Lord that in wrath, remember mercy. Be gracious to me. And then note that David says in verse 2, not only is he petitioning God to be gracious to him, but he is petitioning this of the Lord because he says, for I am languishing. Not only was there a problem of wrath, but there was a problem of great weakness. And this is physical weakness. I mean, David, quite frankly, in at this time and season in his life, he is at his wit's end. He has reached the bottom. Because his own son has betrayed him in the worst way. But David knows, as it's already been stated, this is the rebuke, this is the discipline of God on me. But it's affecting him physically. He says again in verse 2, heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. And then note this at the beginning of verse 3, my soul also is greatly troubled. The term troubled is better understood as terrified. It's better understood as terrified. And note that David says both his bones and his soul. His bones and his soul, that is the whole man, all that he is, physically, emotionally, spiritually, he is terrified. Terrified at what? Is he terrified at what Absalom is going to do? No, that's not who he's talking to, and that's not who he's talking about. He is terrified at the hand of God that is on him. Chastening him, disciplining him, rebuking him. This is the agony that he's facing. that he's feeling, and he is feeling it at the depth of everything that he is. There's nothing light about this, nothing soft about this. This is severe. And so there is a problem with wrath, a problem with weakness, a problem with fear. But note, lastly, there's a problem with time. Notice the very last clause in verse 3. This added to David's agony, but you, O Lord, how long? How long? What I love about the Psalms is what John Calvin once said about the book of Psalms. They are the anatomy of the soul. What you find in the Psalms is you find the believer, you find the child of God in every imaginable circumstance. Whether they're way up on the mountaintop, giving praise to God, at a great season in their life and walk with the Lord, or whether they are down deep, deep in the dark valley, as we see David here. And David is expressing out of his anguish, Lord, how long is this going to last? How long till you answer? Because we have to understand that what David is very much feeling here in the weakness of his flesh and humanity, he is very much feeling as if God has completely rejected him. Lord, how long? How long? You get the sense that David has reached the breaking point. And yet, as one writer said, God's delays are his maturings. God's delays are his maturings. When the Lord delays in answering us, he's testing us, he's maturing us, he's growing us as he sees fit, as he knows best. And what we should take away from these first three verses and understanding a bit of the historic context behind them, the backstory, and this kind of season that David is in, David is not departing from God, though he feels as if God has departed from him. David is running toward God. This adversity, as great and severe as it was in his life, was not pushing him away from the Lord. It was pushing him towards the Lord. He was crying out to God with even greater intensity. Lord, be gracious. Lord, heal me. As he recognized that God's hand was being quite severe in the chastening of his servant. Now, beloved, what that tells us and what we see in this, we're seeing the evidence of true faith. This is the evidence of true faith. True faith in the Lord. That though the circumstances and even David's own feelings, we can be certain, were trying to communicate something otherwise about the Lord and even about David in relation to the Lord. Yet David knew his God. He knew the Lord. And he knew that though God can be severe in his wrath, yet he also knew the kindness, and he knew the mercy, and he knew the grace of God. And so therefore, in verses 1 through 3, in this agony that David is feeling at every level, yet he's still crying out, Lord, in your wrath, remember mercy. Have you ever been there? Have you ever honestly felt that God has turned away? That perhaps God has rejected you, that he has pushed you away, or that he's forsaken you? And that tied in with adversity, circumstances that are really, you know, putting you through the meat grinder, as it were. Well, take this away from Psalm chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. That as deep and as severe as David's anguish is in this, his faith in the Lord has not in any way languished. His faith in the Lord has not departed. He is believing God even more in this circumstance than at other times. And again, as I just said, that is a picture and that is a sign of true saving faith. In spite of my circumstances, in spite of this adversity that I'm undergoing by the discipline of the Lord, the reproof of the Lord, yet I will still trust God. I will still hold on to him and cry out to him, be gracious to me, heal me, O Lord. Even though God had not immediately answered such a petition. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, that here in your word, here in the Psalter, you have given us by the inspiration of your Spirit so many, many snapshots of times and seasons in the lives of your saints that vary in so many ways, but that show us, as it has been said, the anatomy of the soul. And Father, we are thankful for this great trial and this adversity in your servant David's life long ago. And thankful for what the Holy Spirit inspired in David to cry out to you that would be penned as a part of the canon of your Holy Scripture, that even many, many years, centuries later, even here, even now, would speak to us, encouraging us, and showing us many things that as your people, right here and right now, we need to see. That we need to learn again, Lord, that there is and there should be a trembling before you. That the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, and we recognize, Holy Father, that that fear is not, it's not only revering you in a worshipful way, but it is and should be a terror, a holy terror, that our God is a consuming fire. And we thank you, Lord, for seeing that example even here in the life of David, that he did tremble, that he was terrified, and the whole of his person under your wrath, under your reproof, as you had told him through your servant Nathan that the sword would never leave David's house. And yet, Father, we also give you thanks for what we're learning as well from these first three verses in Psalm 6, that that even in times of such great and severe adversity, that we petition you for your grace, your kindness, your mercy, to recover us, to heal us, to restore us. And Father, we thank you for how we see that in David here. And what it shows us, Lord, about the strength of saving faith. The faith that you give us in Christ Jesus. The faith that will not let you go because, Lord, you will not let us go. And we recognize that even in those times when you are delaying your answer to our most earnest cries and petitions, yet, Lord, when you are silent, you are not still. You are still at work. You are still working in all of these circumstances, even as you were in David's life, working all things together for his good. Even so, Lord, you do so in our own lives, and we thank you. And so, Lord, we pray this morning that the agony that your servant David knew when Psalm chapter 6 was voiced in prayer and was inscribed by your servant as Holy Scripture. Heavenly Father, give us the grace this morning. Sanctify us with the understanding for what we as your people now in this hour must and need to take away from these opening verses. In a portion of your word that may not seem to have great application to us and where we are, and yet the application is there. And we thank you, Father, for what we see and learn here about you, and what we see and learn here about trusting you even when you are chastening us, even when our circumstances under your providence can be quite severe. We cast our cares on you, even as David did, knowing, Holy Father, that you do care for us, and that caring shows itself and how you carry us through such times, even when it seems and appears you have withdrawn. For we don't have the answer yet to our deepest and most earnest petitions. We thank you for such things, Holy Father, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and for his sake. Amen.